Right, well now this is a first. Never done this before, but how exciting is this on the internet? Okay, there you go.
Foreign to a cell phone and Tinder-obsessed generation is the middleman role of the operator. When we want to reach out to a lover or stalk our ex-partner's mother, we turn to Instagram or Zillow to see how much their childhood home is worth. But the story was much different in 1972, and folk star Jim Croce mastered songwriting in such a specific way as to make his discography timeless, despite the details tying it to a particular decade. Today's song, Operator, That's Not the Way It Feels, is one of the most famous tracks and comes from his most successful 1972 album, You Don't Mess Around With Jim. Croce talks to an operator and tries to find the phone number of his past lover, who has now run off to Los Angeles with his former best friend. He gets the number, and despite informing the operator that he is much over the heartbreak, he can't read the number due to his fallen tears. He doesn't complete the call in the end, and here is where Croce has eternally left heartbroken listeners, stuck in a limbo-like space of unresolved feelings, grasping at a silent line. I'm Allie Hall, and you're listening to I've Got Aux on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM. This is Operator, That's Not the Way It Feels by Jim Croce.
Operator, or could you help me place this call? See, the number on the matchbook is old and faded. She's living in L.A. with my best old ex-friend, Ray. Gosh, she said she knew well and sometimes hated. But isn't that the
Welcome back to I've Got Aux on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM. You just heard Operator, That's Not the Way It Feels by Jim Croce, which is the song we're chatting about today. And I know Bella has heard this at least somewhat recently, and Gavin is sort of our blind listener who off the record just said that he doesn't listen to a lot of folk music anymore because he got burnt out on Mumford and Sons. Would you like to defend yourself?
Yeah. Well, for one, I'd like to apologize to all 70s folk, because if this is 70s folk, it's not the same thing as 2013 folk. So I grew up listening to a lot of James Taylor, which This is literally James Taylor in another package. It's just as good to me. So I love this.
Way better. I hate James Taylor.
Really?
So that's I'm going to wear that right on my sleeve.
Why? Why do you hate James Taylor?
I just think he's a sleazebag.
Okay. I know nothing about him. I love the song Mexico and...
I've never
Carolina
liked him.
In my
and
mind.
I love Carole King. And so there's a lot of overlap. And obviously James Taylor was like a huge force in the 70s. And I get it. But I just don't. I have never liked him. And I don't like his voice very much.
Gotcha.
I think Jim Croce is superior in many ways. But yes, it is very, the songwriting style, vibes.
And it does the same thing for me as like softer Eagles stuff. Like this is kind of like similar to Take It Easy in my mind. And it is very... I don't know if we should say his name on the radio, but this is very Matt Byrne. It makes sense that he likes this, and I like it a lot.
Fair enough.
So, sorry to all folk listeners out there.
Yeah. Any first comments, Bella?
Oh, I mean, I love it. It feels very like early Hall & Oates, like adjacent to me, so I really like this kind of stuff.
He looks like him too,
and the guitar is so pretty, and it's just like a good vibe.
Yeah,
and I haven't like listened to a lot of him because he just recently kind of came on my radar, but I really like it. It's a very cute song, and I like songs. I think we've probably talked about this before, but that feel kind of like light and like like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah.
That was really nice. And this is something that, I mean, I never met my grandfather, but when my dad talks about the music he listens to, this this is something he would listen to. So it's like, that's a cool idea too, like that two generations ago, this is like their music.
Yeah.
Just fun.
This is one of my dad's albums from college when I got a bunch of records from my family. I got really into this and I was just listening to it on Spotify on my phone. And, you know, it's one of those things of our generation where you're like, has anyone ever heard this album before? And it's like, well, yes, it was very famous long before you even were conceived. But I went and in the pile of records that my dad gave me was You Don't Mess Around With Jim. And on the inside, it was like one of the first label makers where it's like, it's blue with like a tacky kind of raised white.
Yeah.
And it says my dad's name.
That's awesome.
And it's one of his favorite albums. And I think the songwriting on You Don't Mess Around With Jim is, I think it's his best album, and I think it's one of the best albums of the 70s. It's like also very like Laurel Canyon vibes of that whole era of like Mamas and Papas and that kind of gentle sounding 70s music, which I love and was like a huge part of what I did exclusively listen to for many years and what I still kind of gravitate to at the end of the day. Like no matter what my phases are, I kind of always fall back into 70s.
Yeah, it's like calming.
It's extremely, yeah. And it's just like, it's very substantive.
It feels like home plate, kind of. Yeah.
Yes. Like, even though it is light and kind of has an airiness to it, there's so much there.
Yeah.
And it feels like
you're hollow.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You're still like consuming something of substance.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what I'm so drawn to about this song, which I don't think is exclusive to this song, especially for all of us who kind of like older music, but is kind of what I was talking about with the intro, where none of this really applies to us anymore. Like, we do not deal with an operator. We have no middlemen. In fact, I think that's one of the problems with our current culture is like we don't have any mediators and it's constant connection all of the time.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting for any part of this song to like resonate with you when it's like, well, we know everything about everyone all of the time and there is no space anymore. So are we missing out or are we, you know, are we in a better place or a worse place?
I mean, I feel like naturally you feel like it was never meant to be that we were like in such constant communication with each other. But there's something so human and like genuine, I guess, about like begging this person to like help you even like contact this other person. It just seems so real compared to what it is today. Yeah. Like how you were saying in the intro, like you're just Googling these people and you're like, oh, I know where you live.
Yeah.
I know when your house last sold. Like, yeah, it's funny.
I think there's like I've talked about it with my friends a lot with social media, especially there is never any closure. Like even if you break up with someone, you tie up all the loose ends, whatever. It's like, you still kind of have them in your little entourage, your social media entourage. And there's never any full closure. There's always the option to go back and to know more and to do more.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's healthy. I think that some things need to end and stay in their completeness.
Totally agree.
What's that line he says? Like, I want to call you just to let you know that I'm doing fine.
I'm doing
like,
fine.
What if she doesn't want to know how you're doing? Like, that's an option.
Right.
But if you're still following each other and you're purposely updating her, you know, by putting stuff on your story or posting things to let her know how you're doing, like, what if she doesn't want that?
Right. The ambiguity of this is so, I like it because in the story, he's the victim. She's run away with his best old ex-friend, Ray, is the line. But it's like, we don't know the details of the situation.
Yeah.
And that's it's very sweet. And I think he wrote, I don't know what the story is truly behind it, but I know there's something with he was deployed or something. There's some like military separation. And he kind of went back to see where, you know, this ex-lover was. And she was off in L.A. with one of his friends.
That's so sad.
I know.
It's interesting, too, to be like, we're in the same shoes as the operator.
Right.
We're getting just as many like vague details.
Oh, okay.
He's like, oh, this is person. He's like, sure, bud. Sure, this is.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I promise she ran away. And he's like, I'm not giving you this girl's number.
Right.
You're a creep.
What I also like, I love about especially 70s music. And I wrote about this when I was writing about Carole King one time, is like there is still a sweetness even with breakup songs that we don't have today. Today it is all about the performance of, well, I was never really in love with you. It's all
revenge. You're just like,
yes,
yeah.
But
you
never meant those words in that song you wrote about me.
Right, right.
Olivia Rodrigo.
Right.
Something like that.
Which, listen, there is a role for angry breakup songs and for being vengeful. And like that has its place. But it's such a staunch difference between how we approach relationships today.
Yeah.
And I think there is that well, of course you're going to perform aggressively when you know someone's always watching you.
Yeah, and the truth is, like, a lot of breakups just aren't like that.
No.
Yeah. But it's not fun necessarily these days to be like, yeah, we broke up and we're still friends. Like,
there's, you know, yeah, there's no money in that.
Exactly.
What are you talking about? Most things end as insignificantly as they begin.
We want violence. Wow.
Yeah.
As an audience, we want, you know.
No, yeah.
Interesting.
There's that element to it. But I like Gavin's point of, like, we are the operator in that. And I also, it's kind of a meme now, even the way that the song title is, where it's, okay, one word, and then in parentheses what he actually means. Like, that's a bit on social media right now where it's like, I'm walking to class, but really I'm summoning up the courage to live. You know, it's that kind of dichotomy. And so he's you know, operator, but it doesn't really feel like that. It feels like I'm heartbroken.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a kind of another, like, modern tie to it.
It reminds me of every essay title I've ever written where I say something that's, like, isn't right, and then I put a little colon and I actually write the title of the paper.
Yeah, you do something funny, and then you're like, actually, this is about colonialism.
Colonial America. No, I liked it a lot, and I, even though you called me out, I want to apologize. Yeah.
No, I will call you out because that was funny.
Because I realize folk music is like, in the same way country music has changed so much. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
That folk music now is anything like folk music
right
then.
And that's not to say that, like, modern folk is bad. Like, Mumford & Sons is great. And
sure.
Most of my favorite artists are contemporary folk. But where did that come from? You know what I mean? Where it's like, well, clearly Jim Croce was, and he has a lot of artists that I've interviewed who are in the same vein as, like, folk or indie rock, at least 3 or 4 times Jim Croce has come up. It's like Jim Croce and then a lot of King Gizzard, which is funny, but Jim Croce is always, especially with a lot of bands from Tennessee who I've interviewed, which is interesting. Like, there is
he has an
adoration for Jim Croce.
It's interesting because I feel like it's kind of happening again, but pop and country used to be very similar. And you, like, Bella's like comparison of Hall & Oates, like, very pop, but there is a hint of their sound in this. And it's interesting that how I hear, like, John Denver almost in the way he sings, which is very country. But
yeah, I, like, in my head, as far as artists who, you know, you kind of listen to together or who end up on playlists together, John Denver is another one of those who falls in sort of a similar category. Jim Croce died really young. He died in a plane crash, also as John Denver did, right?
What's up with all these plane crashes? Like, never hear about
27?
Famous people dying.
I don't think
plane
he was
27.
I think he was, like, in his 30s or 40s, but he was still pretty young. And there's a couple, like, live performances. There's, like, one bad documentary made about Jim Croce. And it's really sad because it's, I know we talked about this with, like, Amy Winehouse, but there's certain artists who I would have just loved to see their perspective on life change. Like, what that looks like as they get older. And I think that would be very interesting with him.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who's, like, the last celebrity who died in a plane crash or something? Was
that,
like,
Kobe
Bryant?
I just feel like I always hear about that, but, like, you don't.
Yeah.
Like.
Could be modern
aviation.
How
are all these famous people dying in plane crashes?
It was earlier, before we had some safety regulations.
It just feels like
back when you could smoke.
You don't hear that many.
Right.
Back when you could drink and smoke.
I feel like our, what is our, like,
our modern
ultimate,
day plane crash?
Yeah, what
drugs.
Is our plane?
Yeah,
that's where all the, I mean, Juice WRLD.
It's like drugs are, no, you're right.
I feel like drugs, they're probably doing drugs on the plane. Like,
yeah,
that's why
the crash. Like, the pilot as well.
I don't know, it's probably something deep, like mental health.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right.
Honestly,
it is, like, definitely drugs. We're just, like, we're making fun of people.
That's terrible.
So I'm
sorry, guys.
No, but it's true.
I'm just so confused, too, how I've lived my life and never even heard his name before.
Well, and
that's really confusing to me.
I would say that's fairly common because I was not very and me being, like, the architect, I wasn't familiar with him until I was, like, 16. But it definitely is. But I feel like once you get it, you get it. And now you're not going to be able to not think of Jim Croce and hear him in, like, anything else that you listen to adjacent to this.
Yeah, because I grew up, like I said, I grew up listening to music adjacent to this.
Yes.
And so it's strange that my parents just never kind of exposed me to this.
Hidden
so
gem.
I'll have to ask my dad what his opinion is.
Yeah.
Watch him be like, who?
I know. Well, especially, like, if you, I mean, you have a lot of yacht rock, like rock. And so this is a half step to the side where it's, like, folk pop.
Yeah.
Almost. And so maybe it takes its own kind of route.
Yeah. Because when I think about like my dad listening to, what's that guy's name? Who I just said?
Taylor?
James Taylor. That seemed like a kind of random to me compared to his other tastes. So that might have just been like an outlier. And so it makes sense that he wouldn't have gone further to Jim.
I think Jim Croce is really slept on, though. Like, I think with music people and people who are pretentious and intolerable, like myself, they love Jim Croce. And there's like a reverence there. But I'm not sure the average listener and maybe someone who didn't grow up around it or with him would know. You know, and that's what's sad is I think that there are probably dozens and dozens of more artists like Jim Croce who we don't even know about.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the coolest part about being into music or like having an obsession with a certain type of media is there's always going to be, no matter how old you get, there's always going to be a Beatles song you don't really know, mm-hmm. or there's always going to be like an artist you've never really heard of.
It's like Marvel characters.
No.
What?
You know, there's Gavin with another Mumford & Sons comment. We're going to kick him off next season.
It's you're like not, Marvel
you're not, characters. You're not a nerd if you like music. I'm joking.
Yeah.
That's really good. Thanks for sharing that.
Of course. Now I've indoctrinated a couple more people. That's the whole point of this show. And I'm sure anyone over the age of 30 listening to this is rolling their eyes being like, these kids just found out about Jim Croce and they're losing their minds.
Yeah.
But I think it's important. Oh, what?
Bad Leroy Brown?
Yes.
Is that him originally?
Yes. That is Jim Croce.
I recognize that title, at least.
Bad Leroy Brown. Play it.
Okay.
Play a little snippet for the folks. Yes.
Is there a part I should skip to or just...
No, just right here. Little south side of Chicago is the baddest part of town. And if you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown.
I know this.
Yes.
Okay.
We've got Gavin.
Now we have to delete this whole episode because I do know who Jim Croce is.
Yeah, but you didn't really.
Well, and he's got such a like a cool way of storytelling too, especially You Don't Mess Around With Jim is all about this like strife between two guys who like beat each other up. But it's awesome. It's so good. And that's Bad Boy
Leroy. Is he one of those guys?
No, I don't think so. Maybe. Maybe there's some autobiographical content in there.
Another Jim?
I feel like he's too humble to be Jim because Jim's like this tall. There's a line that's like, tall and dumb as a man can come, which makes me laugh every single time.
Yeah.
Because it's just like the himboification of men.
Yeah.
That's been happening forever. It's so good. But yeah, if you're just tuning in now, we're wrapping up with Operator, That's Not How It Feels by Jim Croce. And we're trying to convince each other that Jim Croce is an important force still.
Yeah. I'm sure you agree if you've heard his music.
That's what sometimes these shows are so funny because especially when we do older artists, I just know people are in their cars like wanting to take a sharp right turn in incoming traffic being like 20-year-olds finally found out who the Doors are, you know?
Yeah.
But the work we're doing is important to us because we have a lot of friends who might be into music but don't listen to the weird stuff that we do.
Bella's sisters, you know.
Bella's sisters.
Really important.
They could tap in.
Yeah.
My sister. Oh, into Jim Croce?
Yeah, into just the music.
I was like, oncoming traffic.
We're past that. We're past that.
That was like, is that a threat?
No.
They can't even drive.
Two of them can.
Oh, wow.
Shout out Josie, who's always mad I don't shout her out. Just wait.
Josie in the car.
Yeah, you can drive, I guess. She's going to be so mad at me.
Thanks so much for tuning in. This was our last episode of this semester.
Of the year.
That's crazy.
Of
year three.
Year three. We've done three full seasons of this.
We won an award this year.
We've won one award.
We submitted the same thing for the next award, so hopefully we get similar results.
Okay, you didn't have to out us.
Any comments, questions, complaints can be sent to sbertram@hillsdale.edu.
Go check out our reels on Instagram.
Yeah, true. You can check us out on Instagram at I've Got Aux. You can sound that one out.
AUX.
Yeah, thanks so much for listening.
Well, you've been listening to I've Got Aux on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM, and we'll see you next year.
Bye.
Bye.